This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. NFL Draft Round 1 in the books. Round 2 gets going tonight. Of course, as always, listen to the coverage right here on Sports Radio 610. We got you covered as this continues. I actually want to circle back around, and we'll get into this at noon, because I did ask who you want and what now, and I feel like there's a lot more to cover, so I want to make sure that we give it the adequate time. But one thing I have neglected to this point is the AFC South, teams got better.
Yeah.
Even as the Texans maneuvered, and with the board falling as it did, and understanding the Texans, because they are much better than these other teams, had a selection that was much later, and they were more beholden to the, you know, the whims and the machinations of what happened ahead of them, ultimately trading out of the first round. But did the rest of the AFC South gain ground? And if so, like, which of the three teams in your competition were you more concerned about? The Tennessee Titans at the very top of the draft, number one, 1-1, selecting Cam Ward, quarterback, out of Miami. The Jacksonville Jaguars trading up to select Travis Hunter, one of the, in my estimation, the two blue-chip guys, a guy who is a wide receiver, defensive back combo. And then the Indianapolis Colts getting a gift of sorts with Colston Loveland being selected by the Bears and allowing Tyler Warren of Penn State to fall to them at 14. Which of those are you most concerned about? Which of those kind of intrigued you the most when we saw it happen yesterday? And are you allowing the rest of the AFC South to gain ground on at least this day? In the division,
At least this day, I think you'd be silly not to think that what the rest of the division did kind of shook the rivets a little bit over at NRG. You know, because they every team got well. It seems every team got better. The reason I'm pausing is because, you know, Cam Ward, we'll see. You know, quarterbacks are always such an inexact. You know, just how good are they going to be? But Travis Hunter, I mean, stud. Tyler Warren, stud, you know, and then, of course, you know, they got the quarterback Cam Ward. I'll put it this way, and I think this is the best way to illustrate it. It's what I was talking to you guys about last night. Like, there were two players that were clearly, oh, those are the best football players in the draft. And then there was a clear number one quarterback, and that was Cam Ward. And then there was one, the fourth player of the best four players that people, there was a consensus, those are the best four players. You know, in terms of this draft, the division got three of them. That's the, you know, the best quarterback, Travis Hunter, and the head and shoulders best tight end, even though he was taken second.
There was a lot of analysis that had a real regard, well, like, high
was,
regard
he
for
was
Colson
taken
Loveland.
Behind Loveland.
Well, no, even headed into it, I know that there was, like, Phil Yates, I believe, in ESPN. Had Colston Loveland ahead of Tyler Warren, and largely because, I mean, they're both very talented, but Colston Loveland kind of tracks as a more prototypical tight end compared to Tyler Warren, who is very, very good, don't get me wrong. But I think we talked about this a little bit this week, the idea of he might be more, you might need to have a little bit more attention given to how you utilize him. Because he's so good and how you can get the most out of using him. And I do wonder if that then made that change of it. But then you get a player that's very good in division with the Colts. All right, so I guess if you were going to power rank them, how would you go? But then also at the same time, like, Are any of these, do any of these take any of these teams to a place where they are more scary to you in a larger space? Because I think that there's a weird dichotomy for me in the talent that they have there, but the, I guess, the fear factor, if I had to put a phrase on it, that they now pose to the Texans.
No, that's fair, because I've been saying, hey, don't worry about the Jaguars. Don't worry about the Jaguars. But they just got a really good player. The best, I think, football player in the draft. And I'll put it this way in terms of how it affects the Texans. Because there was a time not so long ago, and longtime Texans fans will remember this, when everything the Texans did was because they wanted to counter what Peyton Manning was doing. Like they were drafting rush ends, they were drafting secondary, they were making trades and free agent acquisitions, kind of like, how do we beat Peyton Manning? Well, the rest of the division is now doing that to you because you have C.J. Stroud. And you've got, you know.
Was it C.J. Stroud or is it the defense? Because
and you've got a
defense. A wide receiver and a tight end as well.
No, I'm saying you've got C.J. Stroud. You've got an incredible defense. So what are we going to do? Hey, let's draft a quarterback that might be, you know, a really good quarterback, if not even better than that. Let's draft Travis Hunter, who can affect the Texans on both sides of the ball. And then the Colts, let's draft a tight end that is one really bad dude. So the shoe is on the other foot now. They're coming at you. So I really feel like that got the Texans' attention, and the Travis Hunter thing in particular, Figgy, because John Harris, salute to John Harris. He didn't try to like couch it as like, oh well, they paid too much and all this. Although Mark Vandermeer
they
might
did pay
have,
a lot.
Although Mark Vandermeer might have,
they did pay
I don't lot. Often say this for that much draft capital, but I think he's worth it because he is an elite player. Look, ooh. Mark
Vandermeer. Ooh.
He could have shot in the arm on both.
Hold on.
Late Jacksonville disagreement.
You're letting your bias show, because what did we do in 23? We're sitting there. We traded a one next year, our second rounder, and a fourth rounder, and we went and got an elite player in that draft by the name of Will Anderson Jr. So if we liked it then, we can like it now. We just don't like it because it's the Jaguars.
I feel like that cat meme with the lady screaming and the cat's in the chair, and I'm in the chair right now as the cat saying, yeah, but we got a quarterback. So there.
Where is that? But it's a very similar deal to moving up from whatever we move. What do we move up from 12 to 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very similar deal.
I think he'll sell tickets. I think he'll be good. I'm not saying he'll be bad. And maybe it all works out.
Vandermeer was so reluctant. So reluctant.
But I do think that those things are not mutually exclusive. I'm very intrigued. And I don't think 713 said, am I crazy because I'm excited the Jags took Travis Hunter? No, I don't think that's crazy at all. He is an incredibly talented player, and I think that one of the things that's interesting is that he is very raw still, mm-hmm. too. Like, mm-hmm. he is still relatively raw athletically. As a wide receiver, there's still polish to be added on top of his talent, and he is still, I think, cornerback, he's probably a little bit further along when mm-hmm. it comes to finding that polish, but just the high end of his ability, and yes, I would love to see Hunter versus Stingley or Hunter versus Nico Collins or what have you. I just also look around and I go, do they have a quarterback to make this worthwhile?
Sure.
With Jacksonville, do they have a quarterback to make the Tyler Warren worthwhile? Although someone did on the text line mention from the 832, Dallas Clark nightmares for weeks. I get that. But is Daniel Jones going to get him the football?
Yeah.
Is Anthony Richardson going to miss him half of the times? Like, I do think that I'm not afraid, but I do find – so I don't think that you gave ground, but I do think that there are some really interesting players where if some of these teams start putting – more things together, because I think that they're still so far away.
That's the point right
if
there.
If they start putting more things together, these are interesting foundations that they have started with on day one.
I'm not afraid either. But these are the types of players that, you know, 6, 8, 10 years, you know, maybe when they do get a quarterback, maybe when they do find a solution, are going to be a big problem for you. Like they potentially are going to be if Cam Ward is really good, that's a big problem. If Travis Hunter is playing at a Pro Bowl, All-Pro level for 8 or 10 years, that's a big problem.
How good does Cam Ward have to be for it to be a big problem? Because in player comps, I've always talked about how bad they are, and here I am being a jerk because I've mentioned them many, many more times in this process than I probably should have. But CBS Sports put together like player comps for all of the top 100 players, and I found it to be useful at least to get some level of gauge of what the general rough altitude a certain player might be able to get to. And the one for Cam Ward was Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And if he ends up being in the range of kind of caliber of player of Jordan Love, is that where you go, oh man, I'm scared? Or is this just like, all right, that's fine?
I mean, Jordan Love isn't bad.
He's not.
Jordan Love isn't bad. And I'm not saying – I'm with the texter. Like, next year, I'm not worried. I mean, spoiler alert, the Texans are going to win the division next year. You know, that I'm not worried about. All I'm saying is they're loading up with players to beat the Texans potentially. And these are three really good ones.
Yeah. I do want to stop down on Travis Hunter real quick, because there's been this constant question of how is he utilized once he finds a home. And it felt like, as the Browns seemed like the presumptive favorite to land his services before mm-hmm. they ended up trading yesterday, that they were probably going to go with a split that saw him more heavily utilized as a wide receiver and then a little moonlighting as a cornerback. This is Dominic Foxworth, who is a former cornerback in the NFL and now applies his trade analyzing the NFL for ESPN. This was his assessment of that with Travis Hunter.
Realization and looking at the Jags roster, like, I think he's definitely a corner. He's definitely a corner. I know that Gabe Davis isn't great and De'Ami Brown isn't great, but like, I feel more comfortable with that, putting that out there with Trevor Lawrence than I do with their cornerbacks, especially since like, they have ends. They have good pass rushing ends, but they don't get a lot of pressure and they're a heavy man coverage team. Like, I feel like Travis Hunter's impact is much more needed with that team on the defensive side of the ball. And I think you and I came to the conclusion that it probably would be easier to be a full-time corner and a part-time receiver than the other way around. So like, I think as we were entering this draft, we thought the Browns were going to draft him and he was most certainly going to be a receiver there. And now I think it's certainly flipped.
I couldn't agree more. This is one of the things that I feel very strongly about. They wouldn't have given up all that and they wouldn't have gone up to number two if he wasn't going to play on both sides of the ball.
Well, he was going to play on both sides of the ball. I find it interesting the idea of him playing more on defense, because I think that I'd be more interested in what he might be able to do if he was playing more on offense comparatively.
I don't know.
He's 6'1", 188.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that he is tiny, but he's not giant. Who is he covering for the Tech? Like, is he covering? I don't think he's covering in the slot, or whoever you end up selecting, or whoever you end up playing at the Z, is that worth what, I guess, in theory, what you'd be having with Travis Hunter? Or is he having to try and guard Nico Collins, which, best of luck, dude?
Well, no, absolutely best of luck. And I think Nico Collins is going to win more than his share of battles if it comes to that. But he's the best cornerback, you know, in the draft, obviously. And he's faced big receivers before. You know, I think they're going to put him on the opposing team's best player. I could see where he's a full-time cornerback, 15 to 20 plays on offense, you pick your spots kind of thing. And then I think they even maybe pick their spots occasionally in a big moment, returning kicks. I mean,
I don't know that you can have him return kicks.
I think you could.
If he's already playing both ways, I don't think
I said pick your spots. Like in a big moment, like, we need to do this.
What about being
he's going to need all the breathers he can get if he's going. So special teams has to be an opportunity for him to stand for a moment.
Yes.
I don't think that you can have
him return.
But
you know how high I am on this guy.
No, I understand. Yeah. And rightfully so. Yeah. He's an incredible athlete. Yeah. And even the idea that we have gotten very comfortable talking about the fact that this is absolutely going to happen both ways is a miracle. Literally a handful of people have done this at this level. Mm-hmm. It is an incredible feat. And that's why I'm like, you can't push that to the craziest level. We're playing 17 car crash sport games.
Yeah.
Like, you can't also be like, you know what? Get it back there and return a punt, dog. Like, that's I feel like that's too much.
I think eventually he will. Occasionally. You know, sort of like Deion. I mean, to be honest, you know, Deion wasn't an exclusive kick returner, but they put him back there sometimes.
From the 832, Hunter's going to get locked down by Stingley or Lassiter and get cooked by Nico. Yeah, that's, I mean, I
would love to see that.
All of it. And you will. No, you are going to see it.
Twice a year.
You're going to see it.
Twice a year. Yeah. So, yeah, man. I thought that the AFC South did good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be good enough for these Texans. And I think that's an encouraging thing as well, headed into day two before the Texans even make any selections in the NFL draft. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including the Astros getting started on a three-game set. What did their opponents do yesterday in a doubleheader? Plus, remember, Rockets got basketball coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that and more next.